great. Take your Bible and look at Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1. It's always best to start in the beginning. Genesis chapter number 1. And everything tonight, nothing new under the sun, as Ecclesiastes tells us. And you always need to be refreshed. And so tonight, we're going to do a handgun permit class. And so everybody get your guns out. Aim for center mass. All right. After this morning's message, Genesis chapter number 1. Now, we do have a screen and all, and I just didn't have time to get it read. But it works a little better when I can draw it. And I'm not much of a drawer, as you can tell. That's not E.T. There in the middle. Genesis chapter number 1. Let's look at verse 26. Genesis 1:26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." I want you to notice the personal pronouns, the plural pronouns there. Let us. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and male created He them. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a new version for today. Male and female.
Amen.
Created He them. That's the only way it works, you know. God says, "Let us." You say, why did God, one God, we believe in one God, why did one God up there say, "Let us"? Because God is a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Or Holy Spirit, whichever one you want to say. When God got ready to create Adam, He created him just like Himself. In the image of God, He created him body, soul, and spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And He created Adam just the same, body, soul, and spirit. Turn the page and look at chapter 2 and verse 7. Chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Now, if you form man of the dust of the ground, that's how He made his body, out of the dust of the ground. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's his spirit. And man became a living soul. You see all three parts right there? God created man out of the dust of the ground. That's body. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's spirit. And man became a living soul. That's his soul. Body, soul, and spirit.
Right.
Everybody in this room is a three-part person, a three-part being. Body, soul, and spirit. You're made up that way. That's the way this guy right here is made. He's got a body. On the inside, he has a soul. And on the inside, he has a spirit. You say, what do you do with the body? Well, the body, that is how we communicate with one another. The soul is our personality. That's the real you. That is your emotions. That's your affections. That's your desires. That is the real person. I'm looking at bodies. Everybody has a body. You're looking at the body. A lot of times we have a funeral and we have a body up there. And what do we say? Every time we say, this is their body, but they're not actually here.
Right.
If they're a saved person, we would say, yes, this is where they used to live. This is their body. But their real them, the real person, is in heaven.
Yeah.
You understand? And so there's a body. And then there's a soul. And this is how we communicate with God through the Spirit. Our spirit. We communicate with God. That's how we communicate. The body is how we communicate with man. This soul is our personality, our affections, our emotions, and all of that kinds of things. And then that spirit right there is where we communicate with God. That right there, for all practical purposes, is Adam, the way God created Adam. He created him just like that, body, soul, and spirit. You say, how can you give me an illustration of that? Well, think about a football. A football is made of leather. That's the body. On the inside of that football is an inner tube. That's your soul. The soul, it takes on the form of that body. That inner tube will take on the form of that football. And what is on the inside of the inner tube?
Air.
Air. That's your spirit. You say, preacher, spirit, air? Yes. Y'all really want me to impress you really good? Pneumos. That's a Greek word for spirit. Man, that'll cost you $50 at a college somewhere. Have you ever heard of a pneumatic drill? Pneumonia. Has to do with air. Pneumos. Pneuma. Spirit. There's where we communicate with God. That's the air in the inner tube. And so you've got the outer shell, the inward inner tube, and then you've got the air on the inside of the inner tube. All one football, but it's three different parts of that football. Just like body, soul, and spirit. That's how you were made up. Now, God has a body. God has a body. He sent His body, His Son, to this earth on Bethlehem's manger. Jesus Christ is the body of God. God has a soul. That's God the Father. And God has a spirit, the Holy Spirit. You see, body, soul, and spirit. God is like that. God made Adam in the image of God. But something happened. Because in Genesis chapter 2, you're already there. Genesis chapter 2, we read verse 7, but look at verse 17. 17 says, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely what?
Die.
Adam, you're alive. You're in the image of God. Listen, you can eat anything. In this garden, just don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because the day you eat thereof, ye shall surely die.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question. Did Adam eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you a question. Did Adam continue living after he ate that?
Yeah.
Okay, then God here was talking about something else. He said, the day you eat thereof, the day you put that to your mouth, you're going to die. But Adam ate it. Kept on living. You say, there's a contradiction in the Bible. Oh, no. This is what happened. My friend, the day Eve brought that fruit to him, she cooked dinner that night, and boy, he shouldn't have ate that.
Amen.
Just joking. Come on.
Amen.
Adam ate of that fruit, whatever it was. And the spirit on the inside died.
Amen.
Right.
Yep.
See that? Now, I wish I could color that all the way in, but I ain't got time to do that tonight. But every bit of that, the spirit on the inside died. See, the body kept on living. Adam kept on breathing. Something happened on the inside. It was like taking a light switch there and turning out the lights all of a sudden. Everything went dark. You say, how do you know something happened on the inside? It's because when he took to that fruit, he looked down and he realized what? He was naked. He had never realized that before. Something changed. Something was different. The lights went out. He tried to communicate with God, and he couldn't communicate with God because why? Dark. The lights went out.
Yeah.
He said, well, the only thing I know to do is hide from God. I don't want him to see me like this.
Right.
God came down. Adam, where art thou? It wasn't because he didn't know where Adam was. He wanted Adam to know where he was.
Right.
Adam says, well, you wonder why we get the phrases we get them out of the Bible. You ever wondered we get the phrases passing the buck?
Yeah.
Adam says, God, it's that woman you
yeah.
in. Yeah. All right, so God goes down to the woman and says, hey, what happened? She said, it was that serpent.
Yeah.
The serpent didn't have nobody to blame it on. The lights went out. Now, everybody, Adam and Eve had children, Cain and Abel, so on and so forth, Seth, so on and so forth. Everybody that was born after Adam and Eve were not born in the image of God anymore, but in the image of Adam.
Right.
Let me show you. Turn the page. Chapter 5. Look at chapter 5. You'd be surprised at the people that do not understand and realize this. Genesis chapter number 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him. Male and female created he them. Blessed them and called their name Adam. In the day when they were created, Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after what? Called his name Seth. What happened? Everybody born after Adam and Eve were born with the lights turned out on the inside. Everybody. It doesn't make any difference. Adam was created with the lights turned on. But God says, if you want to keep the lights turned on, you've got to do what I say. Once you disobey, I'm cutting the lights off.
Right.
Disobey, cut the lights off. Everybody born after Adam and Eve, the lights were turned off when they were born.
Right.
Now, little babies don't understand that. They're under the age of accountability. But one day, when they grow up, they realize, hey, you ever notice how little kids, and I've used this illustration before, but you know how little kids, when they're innocent, I mean, they'll come out of the bathroom and their britches, they're not pulled up.
Yeah.
They come right in. Don't bother them one bit. Oh, y'all looking at them. Bother them one bit. Why? Innocence. There comes a time when they would be embarrassed to do that. That's just like what happened to Adam when he ate that fruit. It was like, now I'm embarrassed.
Yeah. Amen.
It's just like a little kid when he comes to age of accountability. Say, when the kids come to age of accountability, you'll know it when they start realizing things. And they'll realize, hey, I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is why the Bible says, ye must be born again.
Amen. Amen.
Born again. Why do I need to be born again? I've already been born by my mother. I've been born by mom, dad. I've been born. I have a Ballinger name. I've been born by my mom and dad. But God says, hey, when you were born with your mom and dad, you were born with the lights turned out.
Yeah.
Ye must be born again.
Yeah.
That's why you got to be saved. Because you were born with the lights out. Dead.
Right.
Do you know what Ephesians chapter number 2 says? Ephesians chapter number 2 says, ye hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sin, who walked according to the course of this world. You used to be like this. But one day, you were sitting in a church like this. Or maybe you was at home. Maybe, I don't know where you got saved at. But somewhere along the way, through the Bible, through the Romans Road, through John Boulevard, wherever you were reading, somebody turned the light on.
Right.
And you said, hey, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's what happened to me. I don't know about y'all, that's what happened to me.
Amen.
You know, I asked a person one time, said, hey, when did you get saved? Oh, I've always been a Christian. I said, no, you hadn't always been a Christian. Oh, yeah, I can't remember a time when I wasn't a Christian. When you get saved, I've always been a Christian. Folks, I'm going to tell you, there has to be a time and a place where you, just like that little child, came to a realization and said, hey, something ain't right on the inside. I know you're not supposed to say ain't, but something ain't right on the inside.
That's good.
Yeah. Right.
and the preacher's preaching or the Bible's being preached, and you say, hey, I need to get saved. And you'll start wiggling around, trying to, we call it conviction. The Holy Spirit's dealing with you. You'll lay awake at night sometime, and you're pitching around. You're thinking, I wonder what would happen if I die in my sleep. Wonder what happened. Will I go to heaven? Will I go to hell? What's going to happen? That's the Holy Spirit working on you.
Yeah.
God's trying to turn the light on.
Yeah.
And then one day, I came to save a knowledge of grace of God. I said, God, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I can't save myself. I can't be good enough to save myself.
Right.
But Lord, I trust in you because you can save me. And you're the only way to heaven. And I believe your blood can cleanse me from all sin. Lord,
yes.
Would you please save me?
Amen.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Lord, would you please save me?
Right.
That's
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One can wash away my sins. Nothing but the blood. Jesus. One can make me
whole.
Nothing but the blood. Well, hallelujah. What can make me whole again?
Yeah.
What can make me like Adam was before he fell? What can make the lights come on again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Yes. There it was. That's when I got saved. God, put the light on. And you know what? I started realizing stuff. I started liking the Bible. I started, with the lights coming on, I started coming to church.
Amen.
I started liking preaching.
Yeah.
I never did like preaching before. My dad would be up there preaching and I'd say, my goodness, when's he going to quit? Lord, my daddy don't need a clock. He needs a calendar. Man, he's preaching in seasons here. My goodness. But you know what? After I got saved, the light come on. Oh, yeah. Give me some more. Yeah, come on. Don't quit.
Yeah.
Hey, something happened on the inside.
Yeah.
That made a change. And you say, preacher, what happened? Well, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I'm quoting a lot of these verses. You ought to be writing them down. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Yeah.
And I'm a change. I'm a different person. I'm saved. Now I'm on the way to heaven. You say, what happens when you get saved? Well, I'll tell you. I'm glad you ask. Take your Bible and look at Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. I don't know if you've ever heard this or not. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. All right, Colossians chapter 2, look at verse number 10. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Ready? And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith, notice, of the what? Operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened. Quickened means make alive. Quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, Don't get excited.
Right.
When you got saved, God forgave you of all your trespasses. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. But we're on our way to heaven. Heaven bound with my hammer down.
Amen.
Notice verse 12. Buried with him in baptism. Now that's not, well, I ain't got time to go into it, but it's not what you're thinking. It's not being in the Baptist through water. It's the buried with him in baptism is a spiritual thing that goes on.
Right.
Wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the what? Operation. Guess what? When you got saved. Now I've already erased all that, but that was black. Turned black on inside. No communication with God. All of a sudden, God turned the light on, showed me I was a sinner, and boy, he come in. He does an operation on me.
Yep.
He does an operation on you, but you didn't even feel. You didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
But guess what? When he comes and does operation, when you do an operation, you've got to have a knife with you.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Not many doctors do an operation without a knife.
Yeah.
I don't know. They do laser stuff now. I don't know. But anyway, old time operations has a knife. God, when he does an operation, he brings a knife with him.
Yeah.
You say, what knife does he bring? If you write this down, Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of asunder of the soul and spirit.
Right.
And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart.
Right.
Well, this all happens just simultaneously. I've already erased the what I did there. But let me take this red marker. Because this is what happens. Now everybody understands this right here. This is your body. It's your soul. It's your spirit. Everybody got that? When you get saved, God turns the light on. Right there. And then he does an operation. This is what he does. He starts cutting with the Bible. And he separates the body and takes a lot of new operation. Alright, he's cutting away. So what he's doing, he's making two people out of you.
Right.
Yeah.
He's making two people out of you. Now, you're just not one person, because before you got saved, you were just one person.
Yeah.
Now, you're two people.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You're two people. God does an operation. He goes in there, takes the Bible, Word of God, quick power, he cuts away. Now, after I get saved, I'm separated from my body. Now, y'all looking going, well, you look all put together to me. But you can't see the operation that was done on the inside. When he says the operation, he says not made with hands. Circumcision. We understand. We understand all of that in the physical realm. The Jewish, they take their baby boys on the eighth day and have the male boy circumcised and all of that kind of thing on the eighth day. Isn't that odd? Eight's the number of new beginning.
Amen.
When I got saved, new beginning.
Amen.
Cuts away, and he separates my body from my soul and spirit.
Yeah.
Now watch. Now this is what I did. This is all one person, but it's actually two people living in the same body. You with me?
Yeah.
So what I did to make this so you could see it. There is the body. See him? I just sort of took him, put him right there. I took the inside right here, and I put him over here. Oh, you're actually just one. But anyway, for our purposes right now, you have an old man.
Right.
Yeah, man.
And now that you're saved, you have a new man.
Amen.
Yep.
A new man lives on the inside of you. Guess what? You've got two natures on the inside of you.
Yeah.
You're two people. You know what? You're split personality.
Amen.
Amen.
After you get saved, you go crazy.
Right?
After you get saved, you're like, what is that? What happened to me?
Yeah.
I mean, see, you're cut away. So in actuality, it took away, cut you over here. Here you are. There's your soul and spirit. It makes up the new man. Here's your old man right here.
Yeah.
Now what? When I got saved, I still got the same old body that I had before I got saved.
Yeah.
Right.
There he is.
Amen.
Guess what? This fella right here is still mean as a devil.
Right. Amen.
This fella right here, if you let him get away with it,
yeah,
he'll surprise you what he'll do.
Amen.
Oh yeah.
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 You say, preacher, you mean to tell me after a person gets saved? Oh yeah. Because
yep.
You're two, you're split personality. Some of you are going, that ain't in the Bible. Oh, yes, it is. Look at Galatians real quick. Galatians. This is Sunday night now. Sunday night. Look at verse 16. Galatians 5:16. Still here, pages turning. This I say then, Galatians 5 and 16. This I say then, walk. All right, let me point while I read. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
All right.
Is it verse 17? For the flesh lusts against the Spirit,
right.
And the Spirit against the flesh.
Right.
And these two are contrary,
right,
one to the other.
Amen.
So that you can't do that which you would.
Amen.
Am I supposing it about right?
That's right. Amen.
Contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, after you get saved, God wants you to be led by the Spirit.
Right.
And not by the flesh.
Amen.
Because the flesh will lead you wrong.
Right.
The Holy Spirit right here, He lives on the inside of you. This is the saved part of it. You say, preacher, I ain't never heard this before. Well, I'm going to tell you, watch this. Have you ever wondered why? Now think about this. Think about it in a minute. You ever wondered why? I mean, how many of you have went to the funeral home and buried some saved people? You knew they were saved, saved as you are. You got family members that you buried at the graveyard, and they was as saved could be.
Yeah.
Ask you a question. Did you leave their body out at the graveyard? I thought they were saved. Watch this. A saved person, when he dies, this right here, this inward part right here, leaves.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So, even if you're saved, this dude right here can't go to heaven like he is.
Right.
This fella right here, the inward man, is what goes to heaven. You're saying, ah, preacher, now, wait a minute. Hang on. The Lord's coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when the Lord descends from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel from God, the dead in Christ, that means saved people, rise first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That means all the Baptists are going up first, the dead in Christ. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be called. Hey, 1 Corinthians 15, but behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. This corruptible shall put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. See, that body right there, I don't care how saved you are, it's going to the graveyard. Because it's low down.
Right.
You say, well, I'm saved. I know. That's the saved part.
Yeah.
You still got a low down part.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
Somebody be like, I don't have a low-down part. Oh, okay. After church, I'm going to get in front of you in my car. You're going to try to go home. I'm going to drive about 40 miles an hour. And you're going to try to pass me. I'm going to scoot over in front of you. I'm going to drive real slow. I'm going to be on my phone, checking my Facebook, everything. I'll hit my brakes every now and then. You're going to try to zoom? I'm going to zoom right in front of you.
Yeah.
All the way to your house. And then, after we pass your house and you pull up your driveway, I'm going to roll down the window and say, how's your old man doing? I don't care how saved you are. There's a part of you that will rise up and get ugly real quick.
Amen.
Yep. That's the part that's got to be changed. One of these days, the Lord's coming to change that. Here's your saved part right here. Now, you say, these two guys, contrary, they don't like one another. No, they don't. This guy don't like to read his Bible. This guy loves to read his Bible. This guy hates going to church. This guy loves going to church. Can't wait to get to church.
Right.
This guy, he just despises to pray. This guy loves to talk to God.
Amen.
I mean, this is the part he wants to communicate with God.
Yeah.
This guy fears man.
Right.
This guy fears God.
Right.
Come on.
You say, preacher, which one of these two? I mean, they look about the same size. Which one of these guys can beat up the other? It all depends on which one you've been feeding all week.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's
right.
Sometimes we feed this fellow all week long.
Amen.
Yeah.
We feed him on soap operas.
Right.
Yeah.
Video games.
Yeah.
Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
Oprah.
Yeah.
Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
Sci-fi, aliens, abductions, and vampires sucking on your neck. You get ready to go to bed. This guy over here goes, you know what? We need to read our Bible before we go to bed. This guy's like, huh? I want to watch another alien show. I don't read my Bible. Who wants to read their Bible?
Right.
Says, I do. I won't read my Bible. Well, I don't, and I'm bigger than you. So, hush.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
The flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. These two guys are contrary one to the other.
Yeah.
You say, how do I live the Christian life? You're going to have to feed this guy more than you feed this guy.
Yeah.
So that when these two go to fight one another on the inside of you, that this guy will win.
All right.
Have you ever wondered why? Now think about this. I'm just trying to motivate us to think. You ever wondered why this guy can get up every morning, Monday through Saturday, 5 o'clock?
Yeah.
Go to work.
Yeah.
Come Sunday morning, this guy can't even get up in time to get here by 10 o'clock Sunday school. Well,
yeah.
We just worked the service in, didn't we? You ever wondered that? Hey, have you ever wondered why? Every morning, everything goes smooth. I mean, nobody's fighting. Me and Tracy get along. Monday through Friday, Saturday. Boy, everything. Woo! Hallelujah!
Yeah.
Come Sunday morning. Where's my shoe?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who got my hair blow? We're going to be late for church. Yeah. Y'all better come on. I'm the preacher. Yeah. I got to be there early. Right. Y'all going to make me late.
Amen.
I'll just drive myself. Y'all just get there the best way you can. Tired of y'all making me late anyway. We walk in the front door. Hey, how you doing? Have you ever wondered that? Yeah. Everything goes smooth. You know what? The devil knows. Yeah. He knows. He knows what to get this fella going.
That's right. Amen.
And I'm serious. Now, I'm trying to be funny to keep it interesting. But hey, this is the deal. This is it. This is the Christian life. If you're saved in this room, you no longer walk in darkness. You're supposed to have fellowship with Him. And if we walk in Him and light, as He is in light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed from all sin. Yeah. The problem is when we start feeding this guy. And it's tough. It is hard. And you know what? This is what you have to come to the realization of. I can't live the Christian life. This guy can try. You can program him to try. You can send this dude to school to try to learn the Christian life. And we've educated our old man to make it through. We've educated our old man to just work through the songs, and we know when to raise our hand and when to say amen at the right spot. And we've educated this guy to look as much like he knows what he's doing as possible. This guy right here is crying out saying, "Would you please feed me?
Feed me.
I can't live on what you're feeding him."
Right.
There's two people living on inside of you. And it's just two people. And I give the illustration this morning. Driving is one of mine. And I'm telling you. That'll get this guy out quicker than anybody. Driving, they don't know how to drive. They don't need to be out on the highway. If the speed limit's 55, we're under grace. That means you can go 60. They will give you 5 over. Most of the time. And if they pull you over, put your Bible on the dashboard. Hey, honestly, I know we got to quit. I've done that one time. Honest to goodness. I was actually, no kidding. I was going to preach somewhere over in Milan somewhere. This is before I came here. And the guy pulled me over through Gibson or somewhere over one of them traps over there. Going through there, pulled me over. Honestly, we're recording. I get my Bible, put it on the dashboard. Maybe he'll see it. He let me go. Got a Bible. That's what he said. He pulled up and he said, "You know, speed?" Yeah, I was in a hurry. I'm going to preach. And I'm a preacher, you know. And really, I need to get there, really. He said, "Yeah, I noticed your Bible on the dashboard." And I'm thinking to myself, man, this is getting me out of here. He said, "You ever read Romans 13? I said, "Yeah, but tell me what you think it says." "The powers that be ordained of God." "God has made us a minister to administer the law." And I'm like, "Well, could you show a little grace?" I said all that to say this. Sometimes this fella right here overpowers this guy, and it keeps us from living the Christian life.
Right.
Here's the verse I'm ending with, and this is the verse. Most of you have heard it. Most of you know it by heart. But this is it. I'm crucified with Christ.
That's right.
Yeah. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me.
Right. Yeah.
God, I can't do it. But You can through it.
Amen.
And if you want to live a Christian life, we have to come to the realization that we can't do it ourselves. God, I can't do it. I can program, I can educate, I can do all that kind of stuff to myself. I cannot do it without You doing it through me. And Lord, would You work the Christian life, work it through me, and live that Christian life. And so when God, see, when you're living the Christian life, it's not yet not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. That's the key. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that You'd bless that feeble effort. Lord, I hope somebody's been helped.